Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We sure do. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday. I also know what day it is, Shauna. So I'm glad that that's there. But
Having some trouble with names today.
Yeah, names is a little bit difficult. Days is a little bit difficult.
For the record, I couldn't remember if it was Reggie I was having that conversation with. So I was like, this guy. Okay. I just made it up.
Sounds good. Excellent. I wouldn't have called you out on it, to be fully honest. But it's a Friday, and technically we are done with training camp here. Only one more thing to do before you get to the regular season, and that's to play this final preseason game. So what's to be looked at and what's to be learned from this final preseason game? Of course, you can always get involved with the program by texting in. Text line 713-572-4610. We're also on YouTube and Twitch. We'll be checking those as well. But, I mean, it feels like there's a few things in particular that we're trying to get a better eye on in this last game. But largely, this team, it feels like the hay's in the barn, as Nick Caserio said yesterday.
Yeah, I think this is one of the best feelings you can have going in into the final preseason game. I really do, because there's not a lot still to be determined.
Yeah.
Like this squad is set. The only thing to be determined is, are any good players going to be traded? You know, as they were just talking about.
Sure.
Are any players that normally would be starters in previous, you know, versions of the Texans, are they going to be traded? I got two things. I think you got the same two things.
I think so.
That's it. That are interesting, or should be, you know, sort of important in terms of roster building, you know, tomorrow. And it's going to be great to go to. I'll be there. Come say hello. If you're tailgating, I'll be out there doing that. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to be sitting with my guys in our usual spots there on, is it the second or third row? Second row of the press box. It's going to be fun. But it's only a couple of things.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of the nature of the third preseason game, usually, anyways, right? Well, the big one, and it feels like it's been the big one for how long, is like, how does this team view Dameon Pierce? And if we do get to see Dameon Pierce, how does he show again? Because, I mean, look, I know that there's been a lot of conversation about opportunities and such. And in theory, preseason game 3 is a place to see a lot of opportunities for various players and put the last bit of tape out there, whether it's for the team that they're currently on or for the 31 others that might be out there looking, right? And Dameon Pierce feels like there's all 32 of those are in play, because he feels like a candidate for if he does not stick here, which, again, we'll figure out how this organization feels about him and really soon. If he does not stick here, he could be a guy who you're trying to shop elsewhere.
And that's one of mine, is Dameon Pierce. And I think our listeners, Texans fans, should be paying attention. If he starts, that's a little bit of a sign. If he plays more than a quarter, that's a big sign. In terms of what they're thinking about him.
John Lopez, Texans whisperer. Let me know. All right, so I feel like there's three permutations, if I'm not missing some, but we'll check this out, right? Dameon Pierce does not play in this game. What does that mean?
That means he's on. He's done. He's on the squad. And he's probably, I think he's at best, as you've heard, the third best running back on this team. But they seem to like him. They say nice things. Maybe it's just being nice. But if he doesn't play, he's on the squad. I don't think they're going to move him. It's possible. I don't know where you fall on that, but I don't think they move him.
Okay. So Dameon Pierce does play.
They're still thinking about it.
Okay.
Because let's be honest, if he does play, that means Cam Akers is not going to play. Right?
Because I can see that for sure.
Right, because you got all these rookies and undrafted players. I'm looking at them right now. You got new players, J.J. Taylor, Obviously, Gumba Wale, he's probably going to play because he's just one of those dudes and he does a lot of special team stuff they're going to look at. Jawar Jordan, British Brooks. So there's four players right there. There's four running backs right there. That if because Joe Mixon's not going to play, if Dameon Pierce plays, that means Cam Akers is not, and Cam Akers is your second team running back. So you got to kind of read between the lines on this whole, you know, first team out there, I think. Because if Dameon Pierce plays, Cam Akers probably won't, and he's the second team running back.
Okay, and then if Dameon Pierce plays for a while,
yes,
then I mean, although that would fit with what D'Amico has said about opportunities, is now you give
he
him
said it yesterday.
Place, you know, room to have opportunities. Yeah. But what is the interpretation there?
If he plays over a quarter, they're still trying to decide if he's even going to be on the squad. So let's just go through it real simple. He doesn't play, he's in. He starts and plays a little bit, that means he's probably, they're thinking about it, but he's probably going to be like the third, you know, team running back, and Cam Akers is your number two, because I don't think Cam Akers is going to play.
But see, I felt like if that was the case, he would have played a little more in this preseason, right? I felt like all preseason, they've been treating him like he was a starting running back.
Yeah, but he's taken a downturn. Like, he's had the two games, he's had 8 carries and 9 yards. So all of a sudden, that's got them thinking about it, I think. You know what I mean?
I mean, it seemed like they're not too worried about him, man. Because, shoot, I felt like they threw Mechie out there more than Dameon Pierce. Mm-hmm. Like, he had something to prove, which I agree. I think he did have something to prove. But it seemed like they kind of coming across as no big deal for Dameon Pierce, and it's everybody else's fault.
Right. And also, in not playing him a lot, it has not seemed like they've had a lot of consideration towards the idea of trading him. I do wonder if they play him a lot, if that's somewhere, some ideas of like kind of shopping him a little bit. Although, again,
there is that.
Right. What are you shopping in that case, especially if he gives you another yard per carry performance, right? Like, is that something that ends up being appealing in the marketplace? But yeah, Dameon Pierce out there would be, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to maybe get a better idea because of what this organization views of Dameon Pierce, I mean, because they've said a lot of things that I don't know. I think you can take them at face value, sure, with this organization, but I think we all, especially because of what we can see and what we believe, we all have a little bit of skepticism as to how strongly this organization believes that about Dameon Pierce.
I think the big thing we need to be looking for when they trot out onto the field is Cam Akers going to play? I know he's a veteran and they might sit him anyway, but not. They wouldn't sit him and play Dameon Pierce unless they knew Cam Akers had a spot on this team.
And from
to me, that's the biggest thing.
From the 713, they say, hey, man, it's Lions season still. Don't forget.
Yes.
So if they don't play him, they're trading him. I could see that as well, especially Seth was talking about this when we talked with him yesterday, the idea of, hey, man, this joint practice could have been a real great opportunity for the Texans to maybe have a conversation with a team that could very much be in need of the services of Dameon Pierce.
Yeah.
They've made a shift in their running style to more of a gap scheme, which is something that we've seen historically in that rookie year that Dameon Pierce ran a lot better. Maybe him, you know, you pair them together, especially when you look at the relationship that the organizations have, or at least D'Amico Ryans and Sean McVay have. Maybe you can work something out there. And if they already have maybe some level of, you know, hush-hush agreement or something to that effect, maybe you sit him and then, you know, so that there's no further risk of injury or anything like that.
But I think Dameon Pierce has proved nothing this preseason and really last year, if not, he doesn't excel in this type of system.
Yeah.
So I think whomever they're trading him to is not going to be a zone blocking system. It's going to be a
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone else.
And so there is something to be said for having him get out there one more time in an outside zone type situation. Maybe doesn't benefit you at all.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Other things to maybe look for and maybe possibly be learned in this final preseason game against the Rams. How is this wide receiver room going to shake out? There's an abundance of talent in this wide receiver room, and you unfortunately just can't hold on to all of them.
Yeah.
How do they feel about them? And again, this more feels like maybe not how they play, because I think all of the parties involved, we feel like we have the book on. We feel like we have dossiers on who they are. It's more of how are they deployed, and maybe if that gives us a little bit of the tip of the hand of how Caserio and this organization is viewing the way that they're going to play this.
Mechie, Noah Brown, and Robert Woods, right? I think Xavier Hutchinson is probably in there too, but...
Yeah, Xavier's going to be a guy worth watching.
So maybe those four.
But I mean, they're going to play.
They're
going to
play. Yeah, they're going to play. And I think it's telling because Robert Woods is a guy that you would have thought wouldn't have played. Veteran.
Yeah.
Veteran guy. He's been there, done that. Has been on this squad. Has been an integral part of this squad. He's kind of in that same boat. I mean, he may not be playing for his NFL life because he's going to play. But he's playing for this uniform. he's playing for, is he going to be a Texan? Same thing maybe with Noah Brown. So it's interesting. I think John Mechie is interesting as well because Mechie had such a good game, last week. He can almost only hurt himself when he plays. He's got to have a good game. Like because all of a sudden, we'll be sitting here on Monday going, was that a fluke? If he has another kind of nowhere game, he's got to play well, Mechie.
Sure. I think that's fair, especially. Yeah. I think we've taken the kind of hints of, hey, a little bit more special teams and practice such, and we've turned that into, well, does that mean that he has a solid spot? But I think that's a fair point, is the idea that I know that maybe you could look at the coaching staff looking at him and saying, okay, maybe they're starting to see what they always hope they could see, especially in what you could consider kind of like, if you viewed it this way, his rookie year after him dealing with a lot of off the field things, including, fighting cancer and getting himself back to where he needed to be.
Yeah.
You could view this as, okay, this is a starting point, and if we see the proof of concept in his style, then that's fine, but you want to make sure that proof of concept is fully established also in preseason game three.
Yeah, I think they're looking...
Four, I guess, technically.
I think they're looking for an exclamation point with John Mechie. Validation, verification, if you will. Like, we've liked him. He's kind of been in their good graces. Didn't do real, a whole lot in the first two preseason games. But then he kind of, showed what he's got, kind of got his feet under him. They're just looking for that exclamation point. Yes, he's going to be here. He's got that upside.
So a couple of days ago, D'Amico Ryans, after practice, was basically asked about what he's expecting to see in this third preseason game. This is what he said.
Yeah, coming into our last preseason game, it will be a really big opportunity for a lot, I always say young guys, but it's a lot of guys on our team who aren't just solidified ones on our team. So it's an opportunity for those guys, one last week to show the improvements that they made, to show that they belong, to show that they can help our team and it'll be a, successful team this year. So it's just one more look for guys. And, I think at this point we've seen what a lot of our guys can do. We've seen how they can help us. And I just want to see those guys if they can take another jump. Right. Can they take another jump? Can they correct the things that need to be corrected? And can the guys just go out and compete and play fast football for us?
Okay. So I think the guys that we previously talked about, I don't think they fit in that category. But are there any other players on this roster that you feel like do fit into that category?
Like what? Like he's basically saying not just rookies, everybody on this squad that's not a one, you got to show us one more time. And the answer is what kind of what we were talking about, like not just those back end receivers, but maybe some of these running backs. I think what he's really talking about there, like making some decisions, yes or no, will be here, won't be here, will be maybe move. I think he's looking at players along the offensive and defensive fronts. Because keep in mind, obviously, they're gonna have a lot of opportunities on both of those behind the front line guys. Autry is gonna be suspended. There's one opportunity right there,
sure,
for somebody. And then you've got guys like Settle and Davis is probably gonna be on the squad, but he's got to show something. Derek Barnett, Jerry Hughes, like those are guys that have been on this squad. I think he's talking about those guys. All right, show us. And then some of these offensive linemen. Our guy Nick Brooker, Figgy, came out of nowhere, started running with the ones. He's not guaranteed, Kendrick Green had that little nick that he had, maybe Jarrett Patterson. So I think he's talking there, not just about the receivers and some of these back end receivers and the back end running backs, but both offensive and defensive lines.
I also wonder if some of this points to, like, these positions that we view a little bit weaker, mm-hmm. especially on the defense. We talk about cornerback depth, right?
There you go.
Like some of those guys, C.J. Henderson, and then also Jeff Okuda. Absolutely, yeah. right? Like those yeah. are guys who are not rookies, but guys who you need to see have another opportunity to see them play mm-hmm. at a level that feels sufficient because. You know, you have your starting cornerbacks that you feel confident about, but those guys are going to, you know, over the course of a 17-game season, mm-hmm. bumps, bruises, substitutions, all sorts of things, they'll factor in various points. Are you going to be able to play at the level that's sufficient for you? And then also, you could talk about linebackers as well. Yeah. Christian Harris, again, didn't practice yesterday, right?
How did I not think of linebackers?
Is Christian Harris going to be a dude who possibly ends up with an IR stint as well?
Yes, at this point, you have to consider that. But I'm glad you brought up linebackers because Neville Hewitt's going to be on the squad, and then who, you know, behind that. I think Toto's going to play.
Yeah.
You know, and so he has to, maybe he falls into that category. He's not going to get cut.
No.
But they're looking for guys that can show him something.
Show him that you're fully grasping and you're full and growing. Actually, Toto might be like chief in this conversation.
Yes.
You hear the way that D'Amico talked about it.
Yeah.
Show us that the improvement that you've already identified yourself and that we've identified as a team for you,
mm-hmm.
that you're not just taking steps with it, but you're also like fully continuing down that path towards a better player.
Jake Hansen played a lot. Is he a lock? I don't know. I don't think so. Delshawn Phillips, he's played a lot mostly with the second group. That's a good thing. But is he a lock? I don't know. You got Jamal Hill, a rookie. I mean, linebacker, you're absolutely right. Linebacker is going to be one that I think there's going to be some make or break plays on tomorrow. Yeah.
So tomorrow, starting at 9 a.m. here on Sports Radio 610, you'll have Sean and Seth getting you ready for preseason game, game four around mm-hmm. here after the Hall of Fame three quarters of a game.
Yeah.
Such a weird circumstance that you had there. But Sports Radio 610, we got you locked when it comes to Texans. There you go. In the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us. Again, you can always get involved by texting in on the text line 713-572-4610. Coming up next, the Astros handle Baltimore and Bregman. Quickly proving us wrong. We'll talk about it next.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reginald Adatula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
It's definitely Friday. I hope you have a job and you do have something to do. Let's hang out with us. In the loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Adatula, hanging out, man. Feeling good.
All right, I'm feeling good now.
Now? What changed?
No.
What shifted? Now you heard that, right?
Hey, I'm feeling good now. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
You know,
you need to vent?
No.
You need to clear out?
No.
We need to give you space?
No. I'll tell you when I need to clear out.
Okay.
No, I just like, you know how you got your favorite chair at home?
Yeah.
I'm in my favorite chair.
Okay.
You know, just.
I'm decidedly in my not favorite chair, at least. I haven't figured out a favorite chair. I've been here a week, man.
Yeah.
But I haven't figured out my favorite chair. All I figured out is that this one that I'm in right now is not my favorite chair. I don't know if you noticed, Figgy, if I'm behind my computer, cannot see you.
I showed you how to lift that thing.
Well, I tried to. Maybe I'm stupid, right? It's possible. But this chair is just sitting just a little bit lower. You know what I mean? And I like sitting low in a car, but not in this instance. I need to have a little bit of a command.
Use that blue chair.
Yeah, I'll switch it out here.
That blue chair's not comfortable either.
Yeah,
I'll hook you
up. Am I have to bring a chair from home?
Yeah, maybe. But you know how it is. You just like last night's perfect example. Little tangent here.
Okay.
So I went to go hang out with my son and daughter-in-law and my granddaughter. Had the time of my life. I mean, it's always, we eat dinner with them on Thursdays, playing with the granddaughter, okay. Put her on my shoulders and walked up the street. Just great time, okay? But when I got home, I'm like, I'm in my chair now. You know? So we do the cross and we're on the other side. And I'm just used to this.
Because we're the nice guys at the station.
We
make sure the other shows are accommodated.
Expand on
Uh-oh.
That. Because this
Uh-oh.
Is a good point.
We'll get it. About to rub them feathers.
No. This is a Uh-oh. Good point that he made after the show yesterday.
Week one, and I'm already feeling comfortable enough to take shots, huh?
That means you're comfortable.
No, but, you know, when we do the handoff, which mm-hmm. is fun, it's a great chance to get to talk to both the morning show, Seth and Sean, and then also the afternoon drive show with Clint and Ron. And in both of those instances, right, the command positions, the ones that are typically sat in order to have a good view of the producer where Figgy is currently, are the ones that we're currently sitting in.
Yeah.
In both handoffs, we are the ones who put ourselves in the, I guess, more uncomfortable positions.
We compromise ourselves for the sake of the team.
For the sake of the team.
I do the same thing, too. Like, right? I know y'all don't see it behind here, but I do the same thing. I try to make sure everything is closed out. And I make sure Tyler have enough time to set up and get what he needs for his show.
The story here is sometimes it sucks to be the nice guys. Like Reggie's a really nice guy. I try to be a nice guy. Figgy's the beloved. Clint and Ron are the problem.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know what? I agree.
Yeah, Clint and Ron are the problem. Because this is pulling back the curtain.
They've been very nice to me.
I love both of them, but they are a problem. Because Sean and Seth, it's our duty to be on the other side.
Sure.
They've been doing a show since 6 a.m. for 4 hours. Hey, you guys finish your show, and we'll pop over there.
To be fair to those guys, I'm the one who moved. So they didn't have the opportunity to come in. They were just like, oh, open seat. I guess I'll sit down.
But Clint and Ron, we move over there before they even come in.
But see, I was thinking the opposite, man. Yeah. Because you guys, y'all moved to that side before, you know, in the last break.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, dang, maybe Sean and them need to move to that side.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what that's okay. where I thought y'all was going
okay.
with.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
So I guess it could be either or.
Well, either way, when it comes to being a nice guy and, you know, it's us. And apparently it's also Bregman.
Yes.
As... First of all, let's talk about the fact that the Astros handled their business. This is what the final call sounded like.
They've turned things around and hope to be playing deep into October. But tonight, they fall to the Astros 6-0 as Holliday flies out to Myers in center. 9 straight wins on the road for the Astros with the 24-year-old right-hander Spencer Arrighetti picking up his 6th win of the season.
You damn Skippy. That was on Big Fox, and thanks Big Fox for taking that from the Orioles perspective right there. Mm-hmm. But no, Astros get another victory, as you heard, 9 straight road wins for this team, and they looked good in this one, man.
And they beat a really good pitcher.
They sure did. Corbin Burns, 29-year-old, really solid pitcher. I think he was the starter for the AL.
Yes, he was.
In the All-Star game this year, and he was no match for Spencer Arrighetti, though. Mm-hmm. 6 innings. Good breaking ball, I noticed. Yep. And then by far and large, or what's the right word?
By and large.
There we go. Yeah. I can speak English, I promise.
I'm here for you.
More swings and misses than any other pitcher in this game. 12 swings and misses. Like, he was locating well, and his stuff looked good.
Yeah.
He's been pitching well over this last, like, 5 starts. Sub-3 ERA.
Yeah, at least that. He started the season... I mean, I was calling him Arrighetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because he started seeing like a 6 ERA in his first 3 or 4 starts. And now getting it done, just a perfect example of what we've talked about. You know, D'Amico's got his pixie dust. So do Astros pitching coaches because they are getting it done. And then, of course, Bregman, he's getting it done. And I have a sneaking suspicion it's not going to affect him at the plate. Obviously, we've already seen that.
Sure.
But I got a sneaking suspicion. Come the offseason, we're going to hear like, Bregman had elbow surgery, blah, 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 blah. He probably has like bone spurs. This is me, Dr. Lopez. He probably has like bone spurs or something.
definitely not a doctor.
Not a real doctor.
Yeah, for sure. We want to make that very clear. But no, you're right. I mean, you mentioned not hurt him at the plate. He had the, you know, furthest hit ball in this game. But we did learn, and just to make it clear, what happened, that it seems like he is going to be picking up that first base glove. We were asking, is that a possibility, you know, as an opportunity to maybe not have him DH exclusively or frequently? Because DH is already a spot that you need desperately to kind of move some things around. In fact, do we have Ken Rosenthal here? Because Ken Rosenthal on the broadcast was kind of breaking down the news that we got yesterday about Alex Bregman.
The plan is as soon as tomorrow for Alex Bregman to do something that he has never done in his professional or collegiate career, and that is play first base. Bregman took grounders at first today without throwing. He's going to continue to play third as well, depending upon how he is feeling. The Astros want him in the field as much as possible so that they can DH Yordan Alvarez and not play him in left field.
We were all sitting there.
That was shocking.
We were all sitting there going, nah.
Not only nah, but hell nah. Yeah, like, he ain't playing no first base.
Yeah.
And immediately, like literally as soon as we could hear anything about it, they were like, oh yeah, he playing first base, right? Yeah. Like, this is the Rick James. I don't remember grinding my feet in his couch. Yeah, I was grinding my feet in his couch. Like, yeah. Alex Bregman is going to play some first base, which honestly, like, that is one of those moves that happens with a infielder is, you know, if they're maybe bigger or what have you, mm-hmm. opportunity to, you know, less strain on the body. It is cool to hear that he will still play some third base, but yeah, no, as you mentioned, right, yeah. the idea that, hey, he's going to play first base to limit the amount of throwing, that sounds like this is not just slept well or slept wrong. That's not just gremlins. This is not just some level of inflammation. Exactly. This feels like something that's going to be serious when the time comes where they feel comfortable that they can be really honest.
Yeah, but get to it when you get to it. If you can keep playing and swinging that bat like you're swinging, go ahead and play first base, man.
Look like the Astros finally got their first baseman.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They got their first baseman.
They could have done this in April.
I know. And we could have cut that promo Patrick Crayton kept doing.
Yeah.
They don't have a first baseman. But you know what? Like, sometimes it takes these extenuating circumstances for a player to agree to it. Because that was one of the things we were talking about yesterday as well. Like, is he going to agree to a move to first base? Sometimes these positions are so ingrained as a player's identity. And I'm not going to speak specifically to Alex Bregman that that's what is happening. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if it took this particular circumstance where it's like, hey, man, we're trying to limit the throwing. And 832 mentions Bregman is maybe like 5'11", 6 foot. Most first basemen are taller now because you can get that stretch. And I understand that. But
what if he's really good at first base, though?
Yeah, leave his ass there.
Because who was it? Was it Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper became a first baseman for sure. Yeah. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Now you'll have at least some data sets over the remainder of the season. And we'll see what it looks like in the offseason.
I get the size thing. Like it's more of a reputation than anything. You see this behemoth at first base.
Well, I mean, that stretch matters.
It helps.
Yeah, for sure.
It helps to be able to have, you know, to reach and stretch and
extra
and all
a couple
stuff.
Inches of reach can be the difference between outer safe at first.
Absolutely. But let's be honest. I mean, the biggest key, it's like that old saying, what's the key to playing a good right field? Swing that bat. You know, the key to playing a good first base is offense. Swing that bat.
Yeah, produce runs, and that's something that he can absolutely do. And something that Astros did very well last night.
They did.
How about the Ben Gamel game, right? Like, Ben Gamel is some dude that you went and got because the Mets were done with him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he comes in, two RBIs on the day, timely ones, in fact, and okay, cool. Like, if you do that, and I mentioned, right, I went and looked at the stats. I went and looked at the splits, because sometimes you look at the season stats, it doesn't look great. But I went and looked at the splits.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, man, like, since the All-Star break, and now he hadn't gotten any at-bats since the 14th, right? Yeah. But, like, since the All-Star break, the slash line had looked a little bit better. No slugging, right? Like, the power wasn't all that there, but like contact hitting and getting on base was there, and you saw that contact hitting, right? Like a couple singles, some RBIs in there, and that helped score some runs. Plus a little bit of small ball Astros in this
but you know, you get that big lead early, which is kind of one of their calling cards, and then just step on their throats. You can do a lot more when you have that advantage, you know, with the big lead early.
Yeah, and the nice thing about that, right, they get up 4-0, they get to 4-0, the train kept moving in the top of the six, got to 6-0 with a Shea Whitcomb single. And the nice thing about that is that tried to effectively alleviated some of the stress that you have on this bullpen, which is vital in this 18-game and 18-day stretch, because especially after you had Yusei Kikuchi not go as deep as you wanted him to. You had Ronel Blanco definitely not go as deep as you wanted him to, right? Alleviate some of that bullpen work because they don't have any days off.
Yeah.
And what was nice is Brian Abreu and Josh Hader, neither of them needed to do any work in this one.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, and we'll maybe dig into this a little bit later when we get back to the Astros. Like, as unlucky as they were early in the season, they're pretty fortunate these last couple of weeks. Like, they're getting Verlander back at the perfect time because of what you just mentioned, the 18 games in a row. They get guys with the timely hits. They get guys healthy again. They get Bregman still able to swing the bat and play first base. There's some good things happening for the Astros right now that were the exact opposite earlier in the year.
Fantastic. Hunter Brown on the bump today to hopefully get another win against Baltimore, secure a series, another series victory. Right, good stuff from the Astros.
Yeah,
Bregman will play first base is what we heard. So there you go. There you go. Astros doing good things.
Yeah,
and Bregman deciding to prove us wrong.
He may end up just staying at first base. Why would you move him?
Well, some people are like, because he's so good defensively, third base.
Oh, he is. But you got guys that have been picking up the slack there. And why waste that arm? You know, if he aggravates it.
Fair enough. Yeah. In Loop, Sports Radio 610, coming up next. Inspired by our conversation we were having earlier before the show, what are you less than legal on? Yeah, we'll explain next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
Oh, yeah. I like the vibes, Fig. Football yeah, Friday. Man. We'll get back to some football here, top of the hour as we go around the NFL. But right now, what are you less than legal on?
I love the way we put this.
713-572-4610. And we already got a text from our guy Ocho on the text line that was like, less than legal, Reginald. Is that your nice way of calling someone a criminal?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
What are we, and you got to answer, Figgy and Reggie, you got to answer.
For sure, for sure.
You got to answer.
This started because we were having a conversation about kind of streaming and such, like the streaming app that I use.
Yeah, what was that term
TV.
You used?
Jailbroken
Fire Stick.
A jailbroken Fire Stick.
Learn something every day.
Because I do pay for my television. I try as much as possible to do that. Mm-hmm. And I was mentioning that, and Fig was telling me not to tell your business. But
hey, we're being honest here.
Fig hit me with the couldn't be me, because Fig's like I'm not paying for that.
So how it started was,
all right,
I think Reginald was talking about how I think he still, I guess his system thought you were still in Dallas.
Yeah, man. Like, I was watching the Astros Fox game. Dallas. It was on Fox, but I had the Dallas Fox affiliate, and I was like, why is this happening right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I still haven't figured it out. I will figure it out sometime this weekend or whatever. But I was like, yeah, why is this happening?
Yeah, and I mentioned how it happened to me because whenever I'm using my jailbroken Fire Stick, sometimes the commercials can be like a car dealership from New York or New Jersey or something. Where I'm like, what? So pretty much.
So you're less than legal.
I'm way less than legal, man.
We might be dry snitching in this segment. I just noticed
that's okay.
That.
Like, that's okay.
Yeah, I do have sling, so I you know, I'm somewhat
okay,
legal.
Okay, all right, too. Yeah.
But the jailbroken Fire Stick is a backup plan. I know what I mean.
I am less than legal on something that I should be totally paying double for.
Okay.
You know, I worked at the Chronicle for 17 years as a columnist until I came into radio in about 2006. I have a pirated username and password for Chronicle.
Okay.
Somebody passed it along to me a long time ago, and it still works. Like, I'm talking about like in 2008.
Look at this slime ball.
Right. Yeah.
It still works.
I ain't mad at you, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
Passwords
we should probably pay for journalism and so on.
I mean, that's $5
sure,
a month, baby. 100%.
Yeah, but $5 a month?
Or something like that, isn't it?
It's
know
like $5
what,
a week.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's,
I wouldn't know. I don't pay for it.
Man, that was like $20 a month.
Yeah, so I was like, hey, you know what? We might need to continue that less than legal on the show. I'm similar to Fig, but not all the way around. Like I said, for most of my watching, if possible, I'll try and watch on a means that is paid for. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Just kind of like a dorky moral thing, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
But the one place where those dorky morals do not continue and watch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All this boxing, all these pay-per-views, you're not getting it out of me. It's not gonna happen.
Word.
I am on them sites.
Yeah.
I am on them sites just dodging viruses is what I'm doing, baby.
Yeah. Like,
I'm sorry, I'm not paying to watch this fight.
There's a lot of them in there.
The only time I'll pay to watch a fight though is if I'm going to somebody's house and they pay for the fight.
Oh, then you
I'll put in.
Because
then you're being a jerk, right? If you're just coming in like, I'm not paying for this.
Yeah.
But
plus you're watching them on the TV.
Right.
So you good.
In my house?
Not
paying for that fight.
Some would argue I was less than legal for about 5 or 6 years with my iced coffee every morning.
Oh my goodness.
So
this dude would buy a small iced coffee and get a big cup.
No. This is what happened. So they always had a 90,
doing the water cup trick.
You know the 32-ounce styrofoam cup. The
sure.
Big, you know, iced tea or whatever, Coke. I would fill that with ice. And they would have a 99-cent fountain drink. They always had it. So I got to know the guy a little bit there, and I said, "What if I pour some coffee in there? Because I like iced coffee in the morning. That's what I have in here."
Ah, okay.
You know, I'm an iced coffee more after my first cup.
I thought you were on water top with your Stanley.
Eventually, it'll be water.
Okay,
but it was kind of a gentleman's agreement, so it wasn't like stealing.
I don't know about that.
An iced coffee from the machine costed like $4. And I would fill a styrofoam cup for 99 cents and get an iced coffee every day. That's an agreement.
with no agreement.
That's a gentleman's
agreement. He was just doing it.
Yeah, you just getting over.
Yeah.
I do like, though, that you have your reasoning, like to try and justify it in your brain as opposed to I'm just getting it.
I'm getting $3 a day.
He's trying to act like he sat there with the worker and said, hey, we going to agree to this, all right?
Although, to be fair, I imagine for the worker, they don't own the place if they don't own the place.
He gave me my 99-cent cup of iced coffee.
Dude, it did not matter.
So it's something else I do. This is probably a little more elite on the illegal side. So when I go to Kroger, whenever we do our shopping at Kroger, we use the fuel points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't know, you get like double or triple the points if you buy a gift card and use the gift card to pay for the groceries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you start stacking up on the fuel points. So what we do whenever it's time to fill up, we take both cars,
yeah,
fill up on one, and then she pull off, I fill up on mine.
Yeah.
And so that's proud. I don't think we supposed to be doing that.
Hey, man.
That's something I got to do, man.
Okay. All right. I see you there. Yeah. We got folks chiming in on the text line 713-572-4610 where they're with you, Figgy, on the jailbroken fire stick. They said that is elite and it's the way to go. Also, the 346. I'm interested in this one from the 409. They say go to the supermarket, get an 18-pack of beer.
That's a lot, man.
Roll one of the beer cans and scan just one can, and it rings up as a 6-pack.
That's a little too risky, man.
They have videos of everything.
Yes.
You and I have both been stopped by the video police
But
I feel like that one is the one where you're good on the video because you look like you are scanning the can, right? Like, that's an error in the system. And if they didn't want you to do that, how about y'all hire people? I don't work here.
Yeah.
How about you hire someone to check me out? Because I do not work here. Why are you making me work here? The ones where it gets egregious is when somebody gets like, yeah, I'm going to get the Wagyu beef and then scan it as a banana. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like those are the ones where it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to get caught on the video.
But they got you now, man. Just word of warning, because one time, and you and I were talking about this, Figgy, like I was scanning something and I guess I didn't put it in the bag or whatever. And all of a sudden it stops and it shows you a video of you scanning what you just scanned.
Yeah.
And it's like.
One time I was holding something. I scanned it and held it and it stopped the whole computer.
Yeah.
And then it showed the instant.
Hey, are you stealing from us?
No, they went to the booth and went to instant replay.
They threw the flag challenge on the play.
No, they zoomed in on my hands. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah. So I would hide. The moral of the story is, beer guy, more power to you, but hey, they're going to get you.
See, the thing, is, I do not want to go to jail over this.
Yes.
Like, if it's, is that worth going to jail over? Mm-hmm. Hell no.
Yeah.
You think they're going to throw you to jail over that?
Hey, I don't want to get embarrassed over that.
Yeah.
All right. This feels less than legal in a way that, I don't know if this is the way I kick it. On the YouTube, Happy to Meet You said, they're so cheap they take their dates to Costco on Saturdays for the samples and demos. First of all, I feel like, well, look, if
that's cheap.
If she knows ahead of time that's what y'all doing and y'all doing it, fair play.
Yeah.
I feel like you're setting yourself up for failure. But are you the guys that like do a lap on the samples where you taking a whole bunch of those?
I never take samples. My wife takes every sample.
Oh, so you're balancing it out. You're doing the man guilt where she's, you're like, I'm sorry, I'm going to try and make this better by not eating the sample because she's going to eat three.
See, I'm kind of both ways. Like, if they right there and they say, here you go, I would take it and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going out my way to try these samples. I'm not looking across the hall or the aisle be like, oh, yeah, let me walk over here and try this.
Dude, this happened. This is the one that's coming to mind. We had like this gallon, you know how they sell stuff in Costco, thing of hummus, and she's a big hummus girl. And they were giving out hummus samples. She goes, ooh, hummus. I said, look in the cart. We got more hummus than we'll ever eat.
Yeah, but then if you eat theirs here, then there's more that you can eat at the house. You know what I'm saying?
We got a vat of hummus. We've got a big vat of hummus. I'm not a big sample guy.
Yeah, I always find it feels like it's illegal to the social contract.
Yeah.
The contract when folks are just out there like having their meal on a Saturday by getting a whole bunch of samples. But hey, man, I guess get in where you fit in, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Other people are now just sending in like little hacks. Mm-hmm. There's a Jason's Deli's hack in here from the 832. They said they walk in on the takeout side of Gringo's, go over to the ice cream machine and get a free ice cream and just leave.
Now that's less than legal.
Definitely less than legal.
That's definitely in the category.
All right. Now we're going into like a certain cultural touch point. Did y'all ever lie to get into the movies or like into like a buffet or something?
Mm-hmm.
And say that yourself or your child is not an age that you actually are?
Yes, absolutely. Movies, man.
Oh yeah, he's under 12.
Do they even check at the movies? Because I have some friends that'll get like the, I don't know, like the senior ticket or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just, they are not seniors, but they're like, it's fine. They're not going to check.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never tried that. Damn. They don't even be nobody there checking the tickets.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah. They're not going to pull out, hey, what's your ID? I need to make sure that you're of age.
Have you done it?
I haven't.
Yeah. Because that's less than legal.
It definitely is.
I'm not passing judgment.
The one that I have done is the free double play.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go see a movie and you slide out of that movie into another theater.
Mm-hmm. What about everybody bring food in the movie theater?
Oh, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's just the point of pleasure.
It got so bad to the point, man, I walked in with a Chipotle bag. I ain't even hide it. Ain't nobody said nothing. Bag. Yeah. I'm like, screw
it. I do that on airplanes, but that's only because they don't feed you anymore.
Yeah.
But that's irritating.
But are you you're not bringing that from outside. You're like going and buying something.
I'm going to buy it at the airport.
Okay, yeah. If you're finding a way to get through TSA, that's a whole different level.
Hell no. But they do, a lot of people, and I don't blame them, but I don't care. Like, people look at you kind of funny because, like, let's say you get, like, something that has a strong, like a Whataburger and a strong smell. That bothers a lot of people around you, and I'm like, I don't care. I'm eating my double.
Apparently, at the Astros games, you can do that, where they said their 3-year-old is a big 2-year-old. Mm. Okay. All right.
Okay.
More power to you. Shout out to all the folks getting over on the system, on the text line, on the Twitch, on the YouTube, and hanging out with us in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, where there was football play yesterday and a man in division play. We'll see how we feel about him. Plus, a center. More people getting paid around the NFL this time, a center. We'll talk about it next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.